Welcome to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast, where it's not about the bourbon, but more about who you share it with.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Bullets and Bourbon for episode 3. Today we are very lucky, we have a special guest on the air, decided to crack open and do a midweek podcast for you this week. We got Ryan Douglas with Field of Dreams, local Pittsburgh guy who just really does a lot for the community, and just wanted to bring him on and talk a little whiskey, talk a little baseball, and talk about some other stuff. So Dan, I'm going to give it to you. Why don't you introduce Ryan, but first, what are you drinking?
Today, I went with the Perilous Bourbon. This is a small batch, and it's like we talked about on our first podcast. It got that Kentucky kick. I'm not going to go into the flavor profiles. It's a good pour. I think it's a little bit easier to find, not as hard as some of the other bourbons we look at. But definitely good. This one's 109.3 proof, so you're going to feel it. What are you drinking on?
So I'm still on my craft distillery kick, as many know. I guess this isn't a small craft distillery because they do ship all over the U.S. But Broken Barrel got my attention about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Just by happenstance, I found it. I am sipping on their cask strength. It's 115 proof. It's a delicious sipper, full-bodied. Got a great nose to it. Heavy on the caramel, vanilla notes, a little bit of black currant. The mouth feels just wonderful. It's punchy. It does bite you on the front end. The finish is what gets you. The finish is a true Kentucky hug. Bold, lingering notes of leather and earth. It is not an expensive bottle, which I love. Thank you, craft distilleries, for not going full stupid and raising your prices like certain other distilleries. They're keeping these accessible and easy to find. You can find them on the web. Or at their distillery if you want to make that trek. It is a Kentucky bourbon, and they do some interesting things at Broken Barrel that they usually don't see out of other distilleries. They actually break up the staves of a barrel and shove the staves into the barrel, and you get an interesting little bit of flavor profile as you get both sides of the stave putting off and absorbing the alcohol. So, yeah, I wanted to jump into that and showcase a little bit of the Broken Barrel. It's a great sipper. I definitely, if you see it, grab it, buy it, drink it, have fun with it. And I'm going to throw it back to you so you can introduce Ryan to everybody, please.
I think you pretty much hit it. We got Ryan Douglas. He did make it pro. was drafted in the MLB draft back in what year was
1997.
Oh, wow. That's a throwback. So he was drafted.
13th round.
13th round, pretty impressive. Very impressive because back then the draft was what?
52 rounds. 52 13th round out of high school, so I think it's respectable. But, I mean, let me say, I mean, I appreciate Jay, Dan. I mean, you guys have me on here. I mean, this is awesome. I know I'm sipping on the Woodford Reserve Double Oak.
Yes, sir.
Not too bad. I appreciate the recommendation. Definitely going down smooth. I can't have too many more since I got to drive home. But
Uber.
All good. Yeah, I definitely appreciate being here, though. Definitely looking forward to it.
Our pleasure.
All right, so I say let's just dive right into it. So, you know, I've seen the advertisements. This isn't your first podcast, first radio show or anything like that. You're in your 18th year of Field of Dreams. That's impressive. Why don't you go ahead, tell us a little bit about Field of Dreams.
Yeah, so this is my 18th annual Ryan Douglas Field of Dreams Baseball Clinic. So this is a 501c3 nonprofit I started 17 years ago. This is for boys and girls 6 to 12 years old, an absolutely free clinic. This year will be next Saturday, April 13th at Westwood. It's 508 Shady Hill Road. You can go to RyanDouglas.com, and I always say Ryan Douglas with two S's just to make sure everyone knows that. So RyanDouglas.com, you can sign up, again, absolutely free. And like I was mentioning before, you know, I grew up in the city of Pittsburgh. I know there was a lot of camps and clinics growing up that were a lot of money. So I just want to get back to the kids on what I learned. I can't do this without the sponsors and volunteers that come and help me. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, I say that just because, I mean, the kids seem like they have a lot of fun. What I do is introduce myself, let the volunteers introduce themselves. Then they do some stretching. We have 6 stations set up with pitching, hitting, infield, outfield, base running, and now we even got a little pickle, a little rundown station. So kids have a blast with that. Cool. And then when it's all over, we do a pitcher. We have a ton of prizes that we raffle off, again, for free. Batting gloves, bats, bat bags, I mean, you name it. So, again, it's about a two-hour clinic. Starts at 10 a.m. Next Saturday, April 13th. So it's hard to believe it's been 18 years, but getting old, but age is a number.
Yeah. So with that said, this is your 18th year. Have you seen it grown exponentially over the year? Like, about how many kids are you getting out there?
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years. So last year I was at Montour. The year before that I was at Moon. So I bounced around to different associations in the Pittsburgh area just to try to get around, help the associations out. But those last 2 years I had over 300 kids pre-registered. Last year, it was about 225 kids there, so it was by far my biggest one. Right now, this morning, I had about 195 pre-registered, so it's definitely getting there. I know the last week or so, there's always a little push, but I always keep the fingers crossed because of the weather. I mean, rain or shine, this happens, but shine makes it a little bit smoother, a little bit better.
So I always love the nonprofits, but especially when it crosses over into athletics and you're able to do something like this for the local community. In Pittsburgh, being a big small city, which is really, really cool. We don't get the opportunity a lot now. I mean, you and I are both parents, and you know, your kids are getting to the age where they're playing these athletics, and I know it's expensive.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, to do these clinics, it is, I'm looking at carving out a kidney sometimes. You know, I can't imagine being a hockey dad, because that would even be worse. But the amount of stuff that you're able to do at one of your clinics versus what you would have to pay for it, I mean, I got to imagine that this is a pretty big deal.
It is. And I mean, like I mentioned before, with the sponsors that I have, I mean, they've been amazing over the years. And the more money that I do fundraise, the more stuff the kids get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, with the instructions they get from, again, myself, and there's about seven or eight other volunteers that I had to play professionally. So they're getting great instruction. And what I want these kids to experience is something that they can take with them into their season. I do it every April because, again, it leads right into their summers, you know, just so that if they can maybe pick up one or two things from all the different stations they go to, they can work on that. They can get a little bit better. But my main focal point is to have fun. This is a game. I mean, people forget about that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I mean, even to me, when you get to a level I got at, and I think of like the Hall of Famers, I mean, they get out 7 out of 10 times. Get out 7 out of 10 times. They make the Hall of Fame. So it's crazy with dealing with adversity, dealing with the negativity of baseball. But you're set up for failure. But how do you deal with that? So, again, I want the kids to have fun with it.
A little bit of life lessons carved into it at the same time. I mean, you're right. We look at a 300 hitter and we say, man, that's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
But that means that they fail 7 out of 10 times. And adversity is something I think we look at nowadays. I don't know if we're teaching our kids what or how to handle adversity. Athletics are definitely one of those ways, those segues into teaching it. And I mean, can't think of a better place to do it than a clinic, you know, learning these skills from a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Well, multiple, because you got volunteers that are going to be out
Absolutely.
There. So you're learning from guys that understand this game. I played college baseball. I was not very good. And, you know, but I remember the instructions that I received from the people that were giving the instructions compared to an amateur or somebody that was doing this on their hard time, right? They're going out there doing the best they can. It's miles above, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's an opportunity. Listeners, you know, if you're in the area, this is an opportunity to get your kid out, get him involved in baseball, get him involved in anything, but get him outside. You got a chance to bring your kid into a sport and have people that understand how this game is played. They played at the highest level. And they've succeeded, and they're giving back because they have a love for the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't thank you enough for doing that. I'm so curious, too, because I've read through your bio,
and I
got to share this with everybody. So you go from being a professional baseball player,
which is
tops, that's cool, into politics. You got to walk us into that,
because that's
crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely a different game, I like to say. But when I retired, I was approached by the state rep in the 27th Legislative District there in Pittsburgh. And I worked with him for about three and a half years. I learned a lot of the constituents, what was happening in our district, going to Harrisburg. And he was retiring. So, yes, I jumped into the realm of running for state representative back in 2008. It was a great experience. Yeah. And, I mean, it makes me just think hand-in-hand of what I'm doing today. I mean, let alone with my company with Target Freight. I mean, I like to help support people.
Right.
So going back to the political, you know, it's a constituents. What can I do to try to help them with whatever issues they may have? So, again, it was a three-way race. I came in third, 39, 31, 30%. So it was close. It was a cool experience. But my wife and I say it was unanswered prayers. Right. And I mean, again, what I'm doing now in logistics and transportation of 15 plus years, I want to try to help support businesses, you know, reduce their costs, things like that. So it's definitely been around the block in a couple different areas.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a heck of a story. I mean, did you see your story ending like this and beginning another chapter in this way? Or was it, I mean, what's it like when you know that, all right, this is it? For a professional athlete,
well, that's what I mean.
How do you handle that?
To me, I mean, in playing 9 years, I mean, it's a long journey. It's a lot of hard work. You don't get paid a lot in the minor leagues at all. You go into spring training, hopefully getting out of spring training, hopefully staying with the team throughout the whole year, whether you move up or down. And then September, October rolls around, and you got to do it all again. Hopefully find a job when you get home. So it was a crazy time. So I mean, to me, having a job opportunity to jump into politics. Retiring, getting drafted out of high school, not having a college education, again, it was a lot. So, I mean, I did think about that. I was getting ready to get married to my wife, Kim. I mean, she's amazing, you know, with our kids and everything else. So, I mean, there's a reason for it, you know. And, I mean, I try to thank God and, you know, pray to him on, you know, what goes on. And to me, yes, I mean, things are done for a reason. And, I mean, I'm fine with everything the way it's happened.
That's awesome.
With that said, I have to ask, because I know some of our listeners, they always want to know, you know, professional athletes – you got those good times, the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hit us with, you know, maybe one of your favorite moments.
Oh, sure.
And
one of your
worst moments playing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Some of the cool moments, people always think, like, who'd you face? You know, who'd you see or who'd you play? I mean, Josh Hamilton, Carl Crawford. I mean, all those big names back in the day. I know Ryan Howard, you know, led the major leagues. I got to face him in AA. He was 0-for-2 off me with a strikeout. So I'd like to say that in there.
But, I mean, if you're listening.
But, I mean, there's, like, some of the low times, if you want to call it that, is what I mean. To me, when I was a starter, I mean, you work hard for those 3-4 days leading up to that start. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you just don't have it and you can't even get out of the first inning, you know, you feel like you let the team down. But that's what I try to always think, where it's that short-term memory. And this is what I teach my sons and, I mean, any kids that I work with when I do coaching is, I mean, you have to have short-term memory. You can't just let it eat at you, because to me, and it's funny, like drinking this bourbon and drinking everything else here, like there's certain nights when I took the mound and, I mean, I went 8-9 innings shutout and, like, we won. So I went out that night, had some fun.
Right.
The next day I wake up, it's a new day, let's focus on the next outing. Or I didn't get out of that first inning, so I'm out that night, had a few drinks, and then the next day I wake up and it's a new day again. So, I mean, again, the good and bad, you just have to deal with that. So, I mean, just having those experiences and seeing that. I mean, what I did realize, though, is it's a business. So when I was in AA, you know, a couple people were getting caught up to the big leagues. And to me and my buddies had better numbers, are doing better. But what can you do? There's nothing you can necessarily handle. It's when you take the field. So, again, trying to understand what you can control. So I got to realize that and see that. So, again, it just helped me in life, knowing that you can't handle everything. But the things that you do handle, make sure you do that.
That managing adversity that you don't have control over is huge. I know, you know, something that, Dan, you know, we preach to the kids that we got our hands on when they came into the military. Like, you're going to have bad days. Well, I'm not asking you to live mistake-free. I am asking you to learn from your mistakes and to set it aside, pick yourself up, and go forward, having that drive and determination to kind of, hey, dust it off. Tomorrow's another day. You got to have a short-term memory, real short-term in athletics especially. I mean, I can imagine that, you know, you get rocked in one game, you know, next game, it's a do-over.
Sure.
You know, it's right away. What, you know, you were – Now, you ended your career at the Wild Things.
Correct.
Here in the greater Pittsburgh area, Washington.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Wild Things, we'll claim Pittsburgh. What was that like when you came back to the Berg and got to play for the Wild Things, which is pretty – I think it's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what. It was awesome. I mean, being close to home. I mean, I was probably leaving 75 tickets a game when I pitched. I got to start the All-Star game out there.
Oh, cool.
And one of the – I guess really cool things with that is I was the old guy. I was the veteran on the team. So a lot of the younger kids, the players, pitchers, when they came out, they're like, Douglas, what do you think? So they wanted my opinion, which was kind of cool. But I went into that mentally thinking, not that I had 2 years of AA experience and I should be better than these guys, because I'm right there with them. It doesn't matter what I did in the past. It's what I'm doing now.
Right.
But I also went through the offices. And I said what's up to everyone in their offices, in the cubicles, because, again, a lot of these games anymore, you're on the field competing, but there's other people that are doing a lot more to make that organization produce or do what they have to do. So I thank them all the time for what they did. And I still have a actually really good relationship with Christine Blaine out there, who just became the CEO, you know, with Wild Things. Yeah. She's been very supportive of me overall with everything that's been going on. I know in the years past, I did a baseball dream day that I had kids put their names in. I drew a couple kids, took them out to meet the players, took them on the field to throw a first pitch, you know, things like that, just to experience what it's like to get to that level. So it was awesome to be out there. That's a great organization. The Frontier League is pretty neat. And again, I had an absolute blast being there for sure.
It's an awesome story. I can't imagine, you know, you get to kind of end where you began, you know, and start over, start chapter two, write that second chapter in the book.
Yeah. It was cool.
With that said, you know, especially I'm sure, you, of course, with what you're doing now, you're following the game, following how things are changing over and over again. And I know all of us in here, we're hometown fans. We're going to root the Buccos on. You know, what are your thoughts on, you know, with the National League no longer allowing pitchers to hit and going to the DH?
It was definitely different to see that. And I always thought, like, back in the day, I mean, going to, like, the playoffs, going to the World Series, I always gave an edge to the National League managers because you really had to deal with the double switch when you bring in someone – yeah, a new pitcher. And then you got to bring someone else to play the field because it takes in their position. So, I mean, it's definitely changed it. But I know a lot of the people in the front offices, I mean, they do what they can to make sure the changes they do are for the right reasons. Right. I mean, obviously, like the pitch count now. I mean, with the clocks, I mean, a pitcher's got to do that. You can only throw it to first base a few times, you know. So there's different adjustments like that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it's definitely different because I only have my 4 professional bats ever. So taking away the pitchers is a little different. I know some of those guys could hack. They could play.
So what do you think about that? I noticed it the other day. I was watching the Pirates play the Marlins, and mm-hmm. I stepped away from baseball when I quit playing. I avoided it out for a long time and came back to it, and I was watching it, and I'm like, what's this pitch count thing? What, as a pitcher, what does that do to you as a pitcher? I mean
it's a little different. I mean, you got to, like, again, focus on what your plan is. Again, when you get a speedy runner at first, now you can only throw over a certain amount of time. So that's why I think a lot of times you see the stolen bases go up a lot more last year and the year before because of that. I mean, the runners, they have that advantage. They know you can't throw over again, so they can get a better jump. And it's more pressure on the catcher, you know, trying to do plays like that. But on the pitch count, to me, I was always fairly quick to the plate. I didn't think too much about it. I was ready to get the ball and go.
Methodical.
I mean, going right at it. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad because it keeps the fans at least entertained where it's not – I'm not going to say boring because I know sometimes people can say it's boring. And I mean, I've been around it for a long time, so I don't consider it boring. But it, again, some people could do that. So I think it definitely sped things up a little bit where, I mean, people can get more into the game itself.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So full disclosure, guys, I grew up a Braves fan. I'm going to catch a lot of heat for that. but that's because I was from Florida and we didn't have our own team. Now I'm full on Pirates, Buccos fan. You know, I'm sorry that we stole Sid Bream and, you know, way, way, way back in the day. All is forgiven, right? Right?
Oh yeah.
Sid's okay, cool. I got to meet him the whole time. He's all right with it.
Yeah, I'm a Buccos fan now, and I want to see the success brought to the city of Pittsburgh. What we're for? What, 4 games in?
Five. I think 5-0 now.
Five and zero. Yeah. Top of the division. I know that every year we all get excited, right? But this team looks different this year. I mean, give us your thoughts as a professional athlete looking at other professional athletes. What do you see?
The main thing I see is I try to relay a lot. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's 162 games. That's a lot of games. But with that being said, I mean, the Pirates have a lot of talent. They have a lot of prospects. So I'm hopeful that, you know, the Pirates front office and coaches, you know, learn from previous years and what's happened. I hope these prospects, you know, hit the video rooms and do what they have to learn and see what they did good, what they did bad, because there's other people doing the same thing behind the scenes. You got to make sure you stay on top of that. So I'm hopeful that I think that month after the All-Star break, if they can still be pretty competitive in the heat, I think we have a chance. And it's a shame because I think a lot of times the last several years going into the All-Star break, they get on a nice little run, and then they have 3-4 days off. And then coming back out, it's like, uh-oh.
Party.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what can happen. But, I mean, I'm excited. And I think there's a lot of buzz going on right now. I mean, I know Pittsburgh's dying because we have a tremendous sports fan base.
Oh, yeah.
So why not get behind the Buccos? So hopefully they can keep it going, that's for sure. And what I'll say is they've been very supportive of me too. I mean, with my clinic. I mean, we had the pierogies run around. We had the pirate parrot run around. We had the wild thing mascot run around. So the kids can stay focused at their stations, but they can also get a little crazy too. Like I know Mike McHenry the 40, you know, he's been coming the last 4 or 5 years. So he definitely gets the pierogies and kids fired up too.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome that they would do that. They support the Field of Dreams and work with you like that. So
with that said, I got to jump in and through the question. Jason won't get it because he's not originally from Pittsburgh.
Well, you taught me a lot. You have taught me a lot.
I have taught you
over
a
the
bit.
Years. I'm part Yinzer.
Part Yinzer. What's your favorite pierogi?
Oh man!
Oh, look at me! I could have answered that. Are you kidding me?
You know, I'm fairly basic, man. I mean, I like to just the regular, you know, potato. I mean, throw a little cheese in there on occasion. But what I will say, crazy story, when I was playing in Harrisburg in AA with the Expos, when I played 1 year with the Expos, in our apartment, there was myself. We had a guy from Mississippi, a guy from California, a guy from Virginia. I mean, I think I had 4 or 5 roommates from all over. They didn't know what a pierogi was. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what do you mean you have a pierogi? So my wife, when she was teaching, she came out to visit, and we got pierogies. I'm like, all right, you guys are having some of these. So,
And they got hooked, didn't they?
They liked it. They said it was all right. I'm like, damn right it's all right.
Well, it's funny because I have a similar story. I was in the military. I was down in Louisiana at Barksdale Air Force Base. Guys from all over the country. I was like, hey, I'm going to make some pierogies tonight. They're like, what? What kind of STD is that? Never heard of pierogies? Oh, they're like, oh, it's like a ravioli, but no meat. I said, yeah, it's good.
Well, it's just like the Pittsburghese. I mean, I realized that, too, as I was playing. I mean, there's certain words. I still remember coming back when I was in Lansing, Michigan, when I was 19. I came back from All-Star break, and I said yins, and our coach was like, what? What are you talking about? So I started realizing certain words I can't say because people have no idea what I'm talking about. So I tried to scale that back a little bit.
Yeah, this guy right here, Dan, introduced me to Pittsburghese. So, full disclosure, my wife is from Pittsburgh. She's from here. Dan, obviously, from Pittsburgh. And we were in Germany, and he says yins to me. And I look at him, I'm like, what the fuck is yins, bro? Like, I don't know what that means. And then my wife explained it to me. I went home. I didn't want to be rude. You know, I was rude. And now, fast forward, it's been, what, 14, 15, 16 years. And every now and then, yins creeps
you'll catch
into
it.
My vocabulary.
Yeah, there you go.
And so it's real weird because it's like the South and the North had this weird junk baby, and I'll go from y'all to yins in the same conversation. I'll piss off the North and the South, and it's a mess. But it's funny. I mean, he was explaining to me the chair in the street. I never knew it.
Oh yeah, parking man.
I'm like, why don't
you
move
secure
the
that.
Chair? And they're like, you don't move the chair. I'm like, I move the chair.
You got security. Got right up your living room.
Yeah. Yeah, but the pierogies, that was one of the more delightful surprises about Pittsburgh. So I'm gonna counter that with I had jalapeno cheese pierogi.
Ooh,
and they
okay.
were off the chain.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
definitely a good one.
What's yours?
Surprisingly, jalapeno. I like it spicy. My stomach has paid
for
it.
That's what I say.
And we know that. You know, and I'm gonna switch back to baseball real quick and out of Pittsburgh. Kind of go college because you were drafted straight out of high school.
Correct.
Like a lot of young athletes are drafted for baseball out of high school, which is great for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting exposure. They're going professional right off the bat. Do you see now with the NIL money coming down, more high school kids passing up being drafted to go to college to get some of that NIL money, which may be a little bit more than what they're going to make in the minors?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's definitely a different platform. You know, I mean, social media obviously now has been just blown up. I mean, it's tremendous. And honestly, for me, for my opinion, I think it's great because, I mean, there's a ton of money generated for these schools that are brought in from these athletes. You know, whether it's, again, baseball, football, soccer, basketball, it doesn't matter. Women, men, again, it just doesn't matter. There's a ton of money. So, I mean, for them to get paid and do what they have to do because of that, to me, there's nothing wrong with it. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely different. Nowhere near what it was when I played, but it's cool. So, I mean, my three sons that I have, you know, I mean, the one's a sophomore now in high school. I have another one that's getting ready to be a freshman next year. So, going to some classes, you know, with our different programs we're involved with sports and, like, understanding and seeing that, I mean, it's different. But, again, I think it's very positive.
Okay, now, with that said, you know, the son's always going to go to their father for advice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to talk things over. Your son, let's just say, senior years playing baseball, drafted and got college offers.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to give advice to your son, you know, this is down
sure,
the road.
Sure, sure.
Would you tell him, hey, go ahead, get the minor, get the experience, the big league experience? But you know what? You never know how that big league experience is going to pan out. You might make a little bit more money on the NIL. Like, which way would you go ahead and what type of advice would you
give? I mean, that's a great question. And, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, I'm a little old school. So it's like getting a notebook out through the pros and cons. And, I mean, really just try to see what is going to be the best option. And honestly, with all my boys, like, I want them to decide. I mean, we'll definitely recommend something, but I mean, to the point, I never tell them what to do. I want them to make that decision and understand what they're choosing, why they're choosing it. So again, if it came down to that point, I mean, yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of pros and a lot of cons. So it's just really seeing, for me, I think back on it, where I had a full ride to Ohio University. I mean, that's where I signed out of high school.
Oh, wow.
So when I got drafted, I'm like, okay, so Major League Baseball with the Kansas City Royals, they matched that offer along with the signing bonus. So I knew I had that schooling to fall back on whenever I was done playing. So it made my decision a little bit better. And, I mean, Ohio U had a great program, that brand-new stadium, so I was excited for that. But I was like, to me, I'm ready to start my career. You know, so that's why I ended up making that decision. I look back with no regrets, you know. And, I mean, I can think back of certain things. I mean, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. But things are done for a reason. So it's hard to understand and justify that at that exact time. But then you can look back on it and figure it out.
So we're all relatively the same age. Okay. I just, gee whiz, you collected baseball cards, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You collect baseball cards.
Thousands of them.
So I think about this the other day because I think, Dan, you and I were talking about baseball cards with my youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, you know, because he's up there manhandling them, mangling them, chewing on them.
Put them in the bikes for the spokes.
Oh, yeah.
And we were looking at each other like, what is this kid doing? Because, you know, you got to teach the kids, right? Your most valuable baseball, your most precious baseball card, not valuable, but what was the most important card to you? Because I know as a kid, and for all of us over 40 dudes that are out there,
yeah,
there's going to be somebody listening to this that is going to hit in the fields, right?
All
right,
well, I'm going to say this. I think you guys are both going to love this one. So I mentioned, I think previously, my father served 23 years in the U.S. Army.
Right.
So, I mean, I thank him. I thank you guys, you know, all the veterans out there. So when he was over in Desert Storm, Saudi Arabia in 1990, with that war, he sent over the 1990 Tops. So I have the Nolan Ryan one with the gold stamp in the corner. The only way you can get those cards with a gold stamp is people that served. So this is one that I have saved in, like, the plastic with the screws and all that.
Like, hard plastic.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Frank Thomas was my man. I had 35 because of him, the big hurt. I have a ton of his cards, rookie cards. But I think by far it's that Nolan Ryan one with the gold stamp from Saudi Arabia in the corner. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, to this day, I still have it.
And Nolan's to this day still a beast.
I'll tell you what, man. I watched his show on, was it Netflix or whatever platform that was, Facing Nolan, was amazing. I mean, like, just everything that he went through. And, I mean, for not winning a Cy Young is unbelievable.
Because I still don't
to me, like, I saw, like, I mean, obviously all the no-hitters he had, but he had 12 one-hitters. So just imagine if he got through those 12s with the one-hitters. I mean, it's unreal. So, but, yeah, that's my card for sure.
You would argue, I mean, I don't know. I would argue that he's the most dominant pitcher in the history of MLB.
Yeah.
And scariest.
I don't know. I was a huge Nolan Ryan fan. Like, mm-hmm. Went back and looked at my baseball card collection. I had books of nothing but Nolan Ryan and Ryan Sandberg.
Mm-hmm.
But however, I'll say Randy Johnson.
Oof.
That's a good one.
Randy was nasty. Was
big
nasty.
Unit. Oh, yeah.
Big unit was nasty.
Was a beast.
You realize that every female listener has turned this joker off right about now. That's all right. We're good.
The big unit from the left side, he was definitely intimidating.
He was nasty.
And I'll tell you what, whenever I played, they called him the little unit. Ryan Anderson was his name. He was a 6'10 lefty as well that got drafted in the first round. I don't think he made it to the major leagues, but I got to see him in the minor leagues. And, I mean, it's a filthy stuff too, man. So,
how tall are you? Because you're
6'3". 6'3".
You're 6'3". Okay, well, damn, I must have shrunk a little bit. Goddamn age getting to me. All right, so yeah, 6'10 is big.
Yeah.
What was your card, Dan? What was your memorable trading card as a kid? Not the one that was the most expensive. You could get the most for at the card shop, but the one that That was your piece. That was one of your collection.
One thing I'll mention real quick as you think about it, Dan. Like, I mean, with all the prizes, as I mentioned, with the kids, when they're done with the clinic, I have a ton of prizes laid out there. I'll go to the one card store by my house, and I'll buy packs of cards for the kids. They love these cards. Like, I mean, there's like a $100, $150 bat, and they'll go buy, right, like, grab three packs of cards.
So legacy continues.
It does. It does. So.
You got to pick one, man.
Favorite card. Not most. I don't know. I met Vernon Law when I was younger, and I had a Vernon Law baseball card that was pretty nice. That was probably one of the ones I still do have tucked away somewhere. And then, you know, my cousin Pam, I'll never forget it. I still have it. One Christmas, she got me an 1898 tobacco baseball.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
And she actually went and sought this thing on. I mean, it has a crease in it, not in great condition. But I think just because how old it is, and, you know, it's a tobacco baseball
card. Those are rare. Those are rare, man.
Being a kid, you're like, oh, this is a tobacco baseball card. This is great. You know, it's over 100 years old now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That's cool.
You know, I have to shout out my cousin Pam, and, you know, thank you. I still have that card tucked away. So it didn't go to waste.
That's cool.
What about you, Jay?
So, yeah. So I love the history part of this because, you know, especially with your nonprofit Field of Dreams,
mm-hmm.
you bring a lot of that historical context of baseball.
Sure.
And it is America's pastime. And, you know, most kids I know grew up with trading cards. I know we're old balls, but it's cool to hear the kids still get excited and see them get excited about trading cards. If I have to pick one, and this is tough because I grew up a catcher and I love Gary Carter.
Yeah.
The Mets.
Yeah.
He was my guy.
Yep.
But, sorry, Pirates fans. I know this is going to hurt, but Dale Murphy.
Okay.
Dale Murphy was, he was, and I think it's because I got to meet him as a wee lad, and he was kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, you build up professional athletes, just like I'm sure we do with professional actors and everything, right, is these bigger than life people. And, I mean, back in those days, you could get into the Braves Stadium for like $5, and I think they'd throw in a hot dog and a Coke. So, I mean, it was a bargain back then.
Sure.
And my grandmother used to take me. And Dale Murphy came over, and he was shaking everybody's hand, signing autographs to the 15 fans that showed up back in those days, because we were pretty bad back then. And he sat and talked to me.
Wow.
So I got Dale Murphy talking to me, signed the card, and he gave it back to me. And my grandmother took it away from me like really quick. Like, she's like, no, you're too irresponsible for this. No, I'd have had mustard and
ketchup. Yeah, it's bending corners.
Yeah. So, yeah, that card, cool. I think that card represented so much about the best part of athletics, was seeing the professional player at that level just have the humility and humanity to recognize, here's this little kid that loved baseball. That's the next player up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, similar to what you're doing. You're taking these kids out at no cost to them, and you're teaching these kids skills. You're giving them the compassion to help them learn the game professionally, teaching them, caring for them, mentoring them, showing them how it's done the right way with class. That's baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens in other sports, obviously, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talk about America's pastime, you know. I can't think of a cooler way to pass that legacy that you built to your kids and to other kids around the local area as well.
Well, with that said, and I don't know if you announced it yet or you've talked about it, but can we talk about what we talked about earlier, where you're hoping to take Field of Dreams?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, to me, it's amazing just how it's grown. You know, again, I never thought of anything of how it's going to grow, what's going to happen. I just do it. So, I mean, the last 2 years with the pre-registry I've had, and I know last year it was on the pregame and during the game of Pirate Games, again, with them being there, which is awesome. And, you know, some of my buddies texted me like, oh, I just saw the clip on you, you know, during the game. So it was kind of neat. And even like this year so far leading into it, I mean, it's just, it's fun, you know. And again, I just enjoy doing it. So, I mean, the next couple of years, I mean, who knows? People always ask how long it's going to keep going. it's hard to say. I mean, it's in my heart. I mean, I love it. I love teaching the kids. I like them to have fun. It's just hard for me to like say, oh, this is going to be last year. And, I mean, obviously the 20th annual one's right around. I mean, I know it's like a bigger step,
right?
You know, so it's like, wow. So, I mean, who knows? And, I mean, yeah. I know my sons get excited about it every year, and I let them sort of choose the colors. So that's why this year we have the pink and baby blue going, so it's kind of different.
There you go.
I mean, after 18 years, you get different colors. I mean, you almost like double up sometimes, so we'll see what happens. I know my son, again, is a sophomore at Olsh, so I'm letting him pick the 20th annual one, so I think we're going to purple and gold for that.
That's awesome. I mean, that's a heck of a story and heck of a legacy.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, one thing I was going to mention, too, you sent it earlier. I was able to connect with Dale Murphy on LinkedIn.
Really?
And we sent a few messages, and he is just a super, super cool dude. And he wished me the best of luck with everything that I'm doing. And I thought about trying to reach out to have him come, but I think it would be more for us, not for the kids, because say, who's this guy?
Oh, yeah. You just I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, there's no way after – we're just going to call it a couple decades that went by, that moment happened, that he'd ever remember. Because I'm sure that class act that he is, that he probably did that to hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
But think about it. That's in my mind decades later.
Yeah.
As the moment.
Yeah. You remember that.
With my Dale Murphy card by hand.
Sure.
And my hot dog in the other, because I love my food. You know, I got to have that moment with a pro athlete that really, to be honest with you, that probably inspired me.
To keep playing.
To play.
Yeah, yeah.
For many years.
Sure.
You know, I think we strive off of inspiration of other people, whether or not we want to admit it or not, right?
You don't think about it. It just happens. And right. I know, like, to me, like, my father taught me, treat people the way you want to be treated. So, I mean, that's exactly what I do. So, I mean, to me, any athlete or any celebrity, whatever you want to call it, to me, they're still a person.
Right.
I don't think of them at any stature. I don't think of them at anything else. Like, it's a person. So treat them like it's a person. And I, a lot of times, I mean, I think they'd like that. Because it's not – I'm not thinking anything different, man. You're a guy, I'm a guy, or you're a woman. Yeah. Let's just talk, just whatever.
Yeah, that human moment. I tell you, you know, we probably – if we could share that more often with people, sports especially, I think that you see that a lot more.
Yeah. Right?
You know, because – You go out, you go to practice, and you're hustling your ass off. You're competing.
Yeah.
It's a competition. You're pitting the best of yourself against the best of other people.
Well, I think, you know, you have that too. But at the same time, you meet some of your best friends playing
sports. Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time.
I remember, you know, Little League, Pony League and all that, just going out there with my friends. You know, sometimes you get yelled at by the coach because you're out there clowning around, having a good time. Hey, it's baseball. There ain't no time to be clowning around.
Focusing,
you know, time to get focused. But, you know, I guarantee every one of us can sit here and just talk about some of the good times when we were a kid, playing, meeting other kids that you didn't know left or right.
Sure.
Because you didn't grow up in the same neighborhood, didn't go to the same school. But, you know, once you get older, middle school, high school, you start competing. Seeing the same faces, all right.
Yeah, you remember that. You remember them for whatever reason and where they were. So it's funny you say that because, I mean, there's a lot of – excuse me. Then my one buddy, he's from Tennessee, and he came up for my wedding. I went down for his wedding that I played with. He does the hats for my clinics. I mean, he has like a – it's called Wilkie's Outfitters. So it's like a little almost REI down in Lebanon, Tennessee. So he does my hats for me every year. A good friend of mine, Jeremy Affeld.
The one you're wearing now?
Not this one. It's other like snapbacks that I have.
Oh, that's cool.
But my other buddy, Jeremy Affeld, pitched with the San Francisco Giants, got 3 World Series rings. He has a brewery down in Burney, Tennessee. Or I'm sorry, Texas, and I mean Free Roam Brewery. So I mean, I got to see him last year, and like seeing what he's done since he retired.
Here, we'll go down there.
Oh, hey, now we're talking. Now we're talking. So, but no, I mean, it's just little things like that. Yeah. It's just amazing where you keep in contact with them. So
that's awesome, man. I can't thank you enough for coming over, coming down to the Bunker Bar, and hanging out with us,
and
sharing the story. It's a privilege for us to get to know you. Dan's known you, but you know, I met you today.
Yeah.
Heck of a dude. I love the cause. I want to support this any way that we can. And for our listeners, too, you know, if you feel compelled, you want to reach out and help, get involved, I encourage it for any nonprofit, you know, not just this one. But, you know, we are what we give to our communities and what we invest in our kids. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. I firmly believe that. And we can do that in a lot of ways. One of them is through athletics and the generosity of people like Ryan who are really, you know, doing this from their heart. It comes from a place of compassion and love. For us, that's truth. We're going to keep Bullets and Bourbon authentic. We're going to speak what we want to speak and what we believe in, and bring people on that we believe in and we care about. So, Ryan, thank you so much for taking this time. Damn.
And with that said, Ryan, you want to go ahead shoot that website?
Yeah,
out,
yeah.
Throw
yeah.
the dates out there one more time before we sign
absolutely. Off? I mean, 6 to 12-year-old boys and girls, you go to Ryan Douglas, again, with two S's, ryandouglas.com. It's absolutely free. You can pre-register your child. Come on. It's next Saturday, April 13th at Westwood. The address is on the website itself. So, I mean, I appreciate the time. I mean, Jay, Dan, for you having me here, man, it's awesome. Sipping on the bourbon, I'm loving it. So it's all good.
I appreciate it. And before I close it out, too, for the listeners that are Pittsburgh local, I'm going to post that up on some social media sites. So follow me on Instagram at Bullets and Bourbon or Jason LaFave on Facebook, and we'll get that website out there so that if you do want to sign your child up and get them out there, you got a little bit of time, we'll get that out rickety-tick because we're smooth like that. But as always, to our listeners, thank you for making episode 3 a gamer. Episode 4 should be pretty cool. We got something pretty cool Friday night. And thank you for tuning in. And Ryan, again, thank you. And as thank always, you. Stay thirsty, my friends.
No doubt.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Bullets and Bourbon. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, so you never miss an episode.